All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Movie Talks and Chill. We are your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
And in this episode, before I get into what this episode is, first of all, we should say RIP Carl Weathers.
Yeah, indeed.
Passed away. A lot of good movies.
You know, I loved him in Arrested Development.
Arrested Development, yes.
Yeah, Mando.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Gilmore. It's all in the hips.
It's and all
Little
in
the And Little Nicky, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cheer up, Happy.
Yeah. I'm in my head.
Back.
Was it Commando or Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I believe
Predator.
It was Predator.
Predator?
Yeah.
The greatest bro, like, high five in the world.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, Action Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, just wanted to say that real quick.
And
RIP. Yeah.
And the Rockies.
Yeah.
Apollo Creed.
Oh, yeah.
RIP Weathers.
Yes. Take a moment of silence. Turn our mics down.
Cut them off.
All right. We're back now.
Ironically, it's raining outside. I think it's his fault.
So, well,
it's not his fault. It's raining because of him.
So for this episode, what we did is after we shut down last week, I was looking at my bookshelf of movies, and I decided I handed you one and you one, and I said, you guys got to give me one. And so Just quick idea, we watch them.
And I'm sorry that I didn't think beforehand to correct what Patrick gave you.
Yeah, thank you.
It was off the top of my head, and it was the only one I knew for a fact you hadn't watched because you told me 5 minutes beforehand that you've never seen it.
Well, the nice thing is it'll be an easy synopsis because you basically explained the whole movie last time. So I mean, I really don't have to talk about much except for my opinion of it.
Which I am generally interested to hear.
So you want me to go first then?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Okay.
So what was the movie?
And we're done.
Yeah, wow, that was quick. Patrick had explained this horrible movie that he watched, so he decided, hey, let me have Tony watch that.
Yeah, if I had to suffer other people.
Someone else share in my misery.
Yeah.
So Tony's now the third person on the planet.
Now there's two revenge movies I have for you. It was Hurricane Heist, the movie you talked about, Hurricane Heist there. I will say it was better than the Hallmark movie I had to watch. That's all I'll really say about that.
So it was the prettiest girl in that trailer.
Yeah. I mean, the girl in there was cute, but...
She was the girl from Lost.
Yeah. So basically, Patrick had explained almost the whole synopsis last week, but I'll just recap. It's basically a hurricane's coming through, a massive one, and there's guys that are trying to steal from the National Treasury in Gulfport, I believe it was, Alabama.
Yeah, Alabama.
I don't know why I always think of like Shreveport, but I forget that's New Orleans or Louisiana, I should say.
It's
Nollins. But yeah, it's in Gulfport.
Gulf Coast is just one big city.
Yeah.
So
they're going to steal from the National Treasury, which has like $600 million. There's people on the inside.
Also destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so... the movie follows that as those people are planning on trying to rob it. And then you've got this other person whose father was killed, you know, fast forward, he's a National Weather Service storm chaser, basically advisor, whatever he does. And he's got his little vehicle, the Destructor or something?
Tank.
Sounds like a name of like one of the, Decepticons.
Yeah.
Devastator. Yeah. It sounds basically like that. It might be that. I can't remember, but. And he drives around. So basically, these vehicles are meant to withstand massive storms. Like you can drive in them because they have these like what do they call them? Like anchoring things to the ground that holds them from being moved. And it's like made of pure armor and stuff. It's basically the Batmobile
for hurricanes.
Yeah, from the Christian Bale Batman.
Yeah.
The Christopher Nolan ones. So it's basically that. and the guy, his father was Kim, and his brother. We're younger in 1992 when Hurricane Andrew came through, I believe it was at the time, and it was hitting them, and then their parents were trying to get them to safety, and then their father got them to a house because they couldn't go any further or something like that, and then some water tank or something, as the father was trying to save the vehicle, if I remember correctly. I watched this last week, like, so he gets crushed by this like flying piece of debris. I think it was like a water tower or something, or a big tank of some sort. So, of course, you know, I said it last week, you know, people define their future careers by how their parents died. So he decides he's going to figure out hurricanes and, you know, like we can do that.
Beat them once and
I'm going to fight off all hurricanes. So then he gets mixed up in this whole thing with with the one agent, and you know, she's trying to stop the people from robbing the treasury. He's getting involved with them. He's trying to stop their watch the storm or whatever he does, but he gets looped into it, and he starts fending off all these robbers or whatever, cohorts, and then they have these plans where they end up at a mall at some point because they're like, they're going to hide out there, and then they're going to shoot out because the mall has a glass roof. So their plan is, let's shoot out the glass roof, and then the bad guys will get sucked up out of there. Well, the plan works perfectly. So who knew that you could, hey, there's a glass roof. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to shoot that, and people are going to fly out.
So Twister.
Yeah, basically.
Like when they're in the barn, and Bill Paxton straps them to the strongest pipes ever known to
Man. They go deep. Yeah. They go deep.
They were vibranium.
Yeah.
Well, actually, there's a throwaway line. Like, these things go like 50 feet down. This shouldn't hold us. Which I appreciate those, like, one throwaway lines to explain why this is actually working.
Yeah. Well, then we know. Now we know.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, I don't know at what universe you dig a 50-foot hole to
it's a gas
put
main.
A pipe in. It's a. It was in a barn. It's not a gas main.
It was outside the barn. It was in a little shack.
That is a sprinkler. This should hold us. I've got my. I've got
my. You know what, I'm going to throw this out to the audience. If you know what kind of main that was, let us know.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Would that would stand?
This will solve a lot of mysteries. That's been on my mind since 1990, whatever, since the movie came out. I mean,
since 1990, never.
Yeah,
it's been on my mind for the last 30 seconds.
So basically, you know, a long story short, you know, they're chasing off. The bad guys start getting away with the money because they put it all in a bunch of semis as they're driving along. The eye of the storm is passing, but now the back wall of the storm is coming through. This now storm chaser becomes a guy who can jump on semis, you know, from other moving vehicles, takes over the truck, you know.
He becomes Snake Plissken.
Yeah, basically. He is Rambo, the Terminator, all in one. He's just jumping on cars, the liquid metal version of the 2000. Or the 2000. And so money starts getting sucked out of the trucks because the trucks open up. And then somehow they end up saving the one truck. It's the agent, I believe his brother. The agent, the weather guy, and his brother. Because his brother's also in it. And he's like a big Alabama boys maintenance guy. And he's got a bunch of guns and stuff. So that comes into helping the plan out. Luckily, they know somebody with a lot of guns. Or anybody in Alabama. And so they end up getting the last truck that has $200 million left in it, and then they drive off. No explanation to really where they're going. They don't explain anything. I think the girl makes a – I can't remember if she was being serious or something. She's like, you know, like going to give them some of the money. And I don't know if it was a joke or if they made it out to be a joke. I can't remember that exactly. But anyway, they laugh at it, and then they drive off, and that's the movie. So Hurricane Heist, horrible. Don't recommend it. It's not the worst thing you'll ever see, but it's not good.
At what point do you hear Rocky Like a Hurricane?
None.
That still infuriates me to this day.
Here I am. Not going to be in this movie.
It's all over the trailer, but not once in the movie.
Yeah, the trailer is based off this awesome song. And never
met. They got the right to use it once. And then it goes the trailer.
The only thing I will say, there was a lot of stuff missing, but one of the main factors I think was missing from the movie that they, if it was cheesy anyway, I mean, the whole movie was basically just like an asylum movie, just not good. But they're like, hey, why don't we introduce one of the cheesiest plot lines in most movies that are like that, which is let's make these two people fall in love in a matter of hours who've never met each other before that do completely different careers, but somehow because they banded together for a single force, now they're in love. Like that they didn't put that in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? That could have at least helped it. As sad as that seems, it's like the one plot point that you don't normally want to see. You're like, at least give it that. Because it would give me some kind of happiness to laugh at.
I just wish the writers would have Googled magnitude for hurricanes. Because it's not 600 miles an hour. I think Cat 5 tops at 125.
No, I think it's heavier than that.
Okay.
Well, but no, I don't think it's 600. Yeah, but I want to say they can get up to 200 miles an hour, okay. I think.
That would be like a Cat 20, which would be like putting a pencil eraser to the state of Alabama.
Yes. Let's see here.
For that
Cat matter. 5. I'm going to look this up for everybody. Hurricane.
We live in Florida. We should know.
Yeah.
The most I've ever been hit by was a Cat 3.
Yeah.
Direct. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Category 2 is 96 to 110. Cat 3 is 111 to 129. Cat 4 is 130 to 156. Cat 5, it says 157 or higher.
Okay, so technically 600 miles an hour is higher.
They're correct, but there would there's nothing that would be standing.
Yeah. Like, even the air in your lungs would be sucked out at 600 miles an hour.
Yeah. There's a reason we can't go that fast. Is that hypersonic 600 miles an hour?
And according to this, there's officially no such thing as a Category 6 hurricane.
Officially.
Fun fact for you. I had no reason to look that up, but here you go.
Now that you mention it, I'm just assuming that all the people in this situation were wearing G-Force suits, like the ones that fighter pilots wear to keep the blood in their head.
No.
Oh, I know. I've seen the movie.
No, they were not. Nobody had a harness on. So that's Hurricane Ice, from my opinion. Thanks.
It's not a watch.
So at 750 miles an hour is when you break the sound barrier. So
yeah, that's Mach 1.
The hurricane is almost traveling at the speed of sound.
Yes. All right, that's mine. Who wants to go next on theirs?
As fast as the SR-71 Blackbird.
Yes. Moves like a blackbird.
Ooh.
I'll let Gavin go next.
All right, well, I'll go. I received the movie Pool Hall Junkies, which was actually pretty good.
Damn right it was.
So the guy in it, Ming, the Asian guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Surf Ninjas. He's actually a Muay Thai champion.
Wasn't he in the second Ninja Turtles?
Yes, he was.
Is it the same guy?
He was in the second Ninja Turtles. He was in one of the Rock movies, I think The Rundown.
Okay.
When he was leading the Jungle Pact.
Yep.
But yeah, he's actually an accomplished Muay Thai fighter. He was a champion for several years.
Oh, nice.
So it's not a guy you want to go pick a fight with.
He literally had like registered the fastest hands at one time in the world.
Oh, wow.
Of like throwing punches. So it was cool seeing him in there. I'm like, ha!
So wait, in The Rundown, is he like the short guy who just beats the shit out of the Rundown?
Yes. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and come on, you haven't seen Surf Ninjas? What's wrong with you?
I've never seen Surf Ninjas.
Oh my gosh. Leslie Nielsen, Tone Loc. You can't go wrong with Rob Schneider, yeah. It's freaking awesome.
I've seen Three Ninjas, and Three Ninjas Kick Back.
Yeah, this one right here kicks Three Ninjas' butt.
Yep.
But anyway.
That's a bold statement.
So anyway, the lead guy, what was his name?
Morris Callahan.
Morris Callahan.
Is that Michael Rosenbaum's character?
No.
Michael Rosenbaum plays a guy named Joe, and then Christopher Walken.
No, he's not Joe.
Oh, wait. Oh, Joe is...
Joe's the backer guy, or the one, Chaz Palanteri.
Yeah, that's who it is. And Christopher Walken plays Uncle...
Mike.
Uncle Mike.
Believe it or not, I actually have an uncle named Mike.
So do I.
Well, I don't think you have an Uncle Mike like this.
Yeah,
he's awesome. He's a millionaire.
And it's not Christopher Walken.
And it's not Christopher Walken.
Damn it, Uncle Mike, why aren't you Christopher Walken?
He doesn't command a room like this guy. You know, he's, you know, up here. And, you know, he's, the other Mike is down here. But, so there's a movie about essentially a pool shark. Trying to get breakthrough and go on the pro tour. And he actually could have went on the pro tour, but this guy, Joe, ends up kind of taking him under his wing, but he doesn't want to lose him because he was also essentially his meal ticket to go to, you know, all these pool halls and hustle for money and things like that. So that stops in like the first scene. Well, the very first scene, you see him as a young kid, probably, I don't know, maybe 18, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And he's playing against this one guy, and he's telling him, hey, this guy's a hustler. You're not going to be like him. You're going to be a champion one day. You got to get your game up. Quit playing bums like this. And then he sees, like, he gets an invite to the Pool Hall Association, like one of their traveling... I don't know if it was like a championship or a tryout, but they were basically inviting him to go on the tour for the pro circuit.
Yeah, because you have to get invited to it. Like, it's not something you could just sign up for and just prove yourself and win like a poker tournament or something, but you have to actually be invited.
So they like had they actually have like a lot of old guys, because I remember that circuit kind of got kind of big when I was a kid. and like going into high school, and they put it on ESPN. Mm. That's when ESPN started having, you know, all those channels on random stuff that they were putting on.
The Ocho.
Yeah, the Ocho. Dodgeball tournaments.
Well, in the football offseason, when I go up to courtside, they have cornhole on ESPN.
And see, that's the sport that's taken kind of, its, I guess, maybe its place in the, well, that, and then now everything's moving to freaking pickleball.
Yeah.
So there's the fad trend of the, you know, sports channel.
You know what sport I love when they put on is when you have to climb up the foam stairs and they're squirting soap everywhere, so you it's really hard to climb all the way up to the top. Have you guys seen that? Swear to God, it's been aired on ESPN.
I have not. I've refused to watch any more things that you suggest.
Because like, I got a list.
Like, are you talking about NXT where they would...
Oh, God, I wish. I love that show.
It was awesome.
The American version just wasn't that good.
Was because, it was the voiceover.
Yeah.
That was the fun part. Hey, how's it going there, John? And you just see their mouth moving. But what's cool about it is, you know, so after that scene... It cuts to him now playing this guy, and he's like, you know, trying to up the bet on getting, and he ends up going to the bar, and one of the guys that runs the pro circuit, they have the circuit in town doing an event.
Toupee J.
Toupee J. And he's sitting there talking to him. And he's like, hey man, we've invited you for years. Like you, that was something to do with your parents and not being able to. And his parents were gone. Like
they never really explained what happened to their parents.
They just said that Joe kind of took him under his wing, and like that was his father figure for however many years.
Yep.
It's like I clothed you, I fed you, like dude, I paid you back.
Yeah.
So then he comes out and he's like, hey, we're gonna make this fucking $20,000. And then, like, the room gets quiet, and this is the line of the movie. It's like, oh, did I stutter? It was loud as a pool all in here a second ago. What was it? Now it's like fucking church mouse. What, are you a bunch of nuns or something? So throughout the movie, like, anytime, like, they throw down, like, a hardcore bet, that's the line they drop, but they just changed it a little bit to where they are. When they're in the room with the at the party.
At the party. Oh, yeah. A minute ago, it was like a Elks Lounge.
The Elk Lodge in here. That's quite as a church up in this motherfucker. the beginning scene, he ends up screwing over Joe because he intentionally loses on the last shot. And he was talking to his buddy. I'm not going to go over the exchange that they did about the Endler, but it is hilarious. And Joe's sitting there like, man, you've got a gift. You can literally insult someone to their face and they love you for it while you're taking their money. That's a gift, kid. So the movie goes on and he goes back and forth about trying to get out of it. He's having some issues with his girlfriend. And
who he lives with, by the way, she basically
she is breadwinner essentially.
Yep,
her parents pay for this real nice like apartment that they live in or something.
Yeah, if it was like in New York, it would be impossible even for the parents to cover that. It's like this because they live in, I believe they live
it's like
in
the
Utah.
Apartments from Friends.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
No, it's nicer than that. It's it's something out of like Sex and the City, like where what's her name?
Samantha.
Kim Cattrall.
No, the other one. The more
Samantha.
Reserved one. No.
Samantha. The tall blonde, slutty one.
But anyway, you get who I'm talking about, So, but yeah, it's this beautiful, like, all, like, decked out, beautiful old oak wood, you know, apartment scene. And so you got the fireplace in it. It's like.
The bed is massive.
Yeah.
It's like something you'd see going to a resort. Like, this is your day bed.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So basically, she's like trying to, she doesn't want him playing anymore, and she wants him to be on the straight and narrow, and he's trying to, but he's that's what he does,
and that's who he is, and it's also like the quickest way for him to make money. But you know, in that instance, there's also those nights where you don't make any money and you get screwed. You know? So that's kind of also one of the things he's dealing with is like getting to that next level. He's a great player. And like, he could go on the circuit, but because he kept himself out of it so long, he developed like this block for it. Mm. Like, that's a, it's like, oh, this guy's a pro. I can't play him. Like, he's on the tour. He's going to beat me anyway. He's already defeated himself before he even goes, you know, and plays the guy.
Mm.
So then the party, which is really cool, but it's also the crux of the movie where him and his girlfriend break up. He meets Uncle Mike, Christopher Walken.
Who he doesn't know is her uncle.
So they've been, he's like, wait, this is Uncle Mike? And she goes, what have you been doing with my Uncle Mike? He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is Uncle Mike? Like, so, and they
this is your Johnny.
Yeah, yeah. This is Uncle Mike. Yeah, he's like, this is your Johnny? And they fought, like, they're instantly friends.
Yeah.
So they go upstairs and take her boss for a bunch of money. And then what he does is he makes a bet. There's this crazy freaking shot. So basically the cue ball and the eight ball are on the rail, and they're right next to each other. And the shot is you have
to... And they're right by the middle pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the eight ball is right next to the pocket, and the cue ball is right next to the eight ball, but both directly against the rail.
Mm-hmm. And also touching each other.
Oh, okay.
So Christopher Walken makes this shot. So it goes off, bounces off the rail, comes back, and hits the eight ball into the center pocket. And that's that one in the game.
Yeah, because what happens is he hits it on a slight angle, mm-hmm. so it starts rolling the eight ball
right.
over so that it's in front of the pocket, and when as it's ball, coming back, it taps it in.
Nice.
So the guy's like freaking out, and he's like, hey, man, no, this is that was all luck, man. You won on a luck shot. Like, he wasn't good. Like, I don't care if you play pool or not. Like, you make the shot, you make the shot. No matter mm-hmm. if it's luck. Now, if you're calling it and it's for money, he called it anyway. So, like,
you
call it and you make it, you could say it's luck, but you called what you made. Like, fuck you. So he's like, yeah, dude, this is not, no, you won because of luck. That's the, I don't even call that skill, you know? And then, Johnny gets over and he's like, wait, whoa, 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 I can make that shot. And he starts giving him shit back and forth. He's like, well, what is it? What is the bet? So the bet is when his girlfriend passes the bar, he has to hire her as an associate for at least 1 year so she can prove herself.
Yep. No special treatment.
Yeah, he was like, no special treatment. He said, just give her 1 year, let her prove herself, and it's done. And he said, I now make the shot one-handed. So he puts, like, he's got it right over here on the side. Oh, yeah. So Uncle Mike, he's like, well, what do you have that I can't, you know, that I'm going to get when you miss? And then Uncle Mike pulls his keys out and he says, my new Benz. He said, I know you've been looking at it. You know you want to drive it. And he puts the keys on the table.
You can own it.
Yeah, he said, you can't own it. So he makes the shot and he's so excited to go go tell his girl. And he runs down and she's getting hit on by, like, this lawyer that's already at the party. Well, meanwhile, they've been up there for, like, hours hustling pool. And she gets pissed off because that's all she hears is just – that's all he gets the chance to say is that he hustled pool. But even though it was with Uncle Mike, it didn't matter because it was what she didn't want him to, you know, to do. He was just, like, going back to the same old thing each time. So the last scene is – or the ending of the movie is – well, throughout there, Joe ends up finally coming back at him and breaks his hand.
Oh.
Yeah. And then comes back to the bar and beats up his brother after his brother loses something like what, 10 or 5 grand to the pro that he brought.
Yeah, it's
5 or 10.
Yeah, it's something like that. So maybe, but just to backtrack real quick, so the point of because what they do include a lot of, it is mainly about him, but they include his brother and his brother's friends.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot. So all his, they all play pool. They all hustle stuff. And they're mm-hmm. like, whether it's just bar bets or pool. And the one friend, his glass, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he starts playing this kid who's actually Rick Schroeder.
Yeah.
From Silver Spoons.
Mm.
And so you see him at the very beginning when Mars, loses the hand on purpose, the one game at the very beginning. And Joe, or the guy Chico who's at the bar we get Chico. To fight him with, he's like, you got to play my man Brad for 20 grand. And he asks him, Brad's Rick Schroeder. And he's like, no, I don't think so. You guys got too much personal stuff going on. So then later on, when Johnny leaves Joe kind of picks Brad up as kind of his new breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And he gets involved with the friends are there. So the one kid, he ends up, he's winning, but then he loser. He's hustling him. He basically says, you know, we'll play this. He's like, normally we play nine ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, let's say we play eight ball and I'll give you four balls off the table.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, you know, after he breaks, then whatever he has, stripes or solids, he gets to take whatever four balls off the table. Well, what he doesn't realize is his brother Danny, who is the younger brother Danny, which is Michael Rosenbaum.
Oh, okay.
He's actually a pretty good pool player too. And he's telling him, he's like trying to do this music gig. And he's like, no, he's like, he's giving me four balls off the table. He's like, how much are you down? He's like, but he's giving me, he's like, that's the oldest hustle. He's like, all you're doing is getting your balls out of the way so he can shoot his in.
Right.
So it seems like a good deal, but he's basically just opening up the table for him.
Yeah.
And so he's playing, he ends up losing. And then so Danny decides he's going to take him on. Because he finds out that they had broken what's his name's hand, his brother Johnny's hand. So he's like, "Hey, you guys want some action?" And his brother has this.
He likes pawns his. He pawns his friend's car.
Yep. They pawn his car.
At no point are you pawning my car to front your bet money. And then it cuts to just a tow truck lifting it up.
Yep. And so when he plays, he ends up at their normal pool hall. They have this one table. He put like matchsticks under one of the legs because he knows how to make it roll funny.
Mm.
And he's like, you always beat me on the stage. He's like, of course I do. He's like, I put the matchstick under there. I know how it rolls. He's like, you motherfucker. So they're playing him on that. And then they start playing him and he's winning. He's up and he's getting cocky and stuff. And then finally he's like, you know, we got to get us off this fucked up table. He's like, no, we stay on this table. We don't play. Well, he's basically Brad's been hustling him the whole time because then all of a sudden he just unleashes and he's losing and he doesn't have the money to cover it, and then so basically tries to run away. They beat him up in order to make the money back. He robs the pawn shop.
Yeah.
He gets caught, he gets busted. So then his friends say, hey, we need to get Danny out of jail, and so he decides he's gonna call up Joe to play to get the money back and then also to get revenge. So he's got to play with that messed up hand because he basically takes the cast off.
So there's like, early there's like 10 minutes of them lining up balls for him to shoot, like after he's got his cast off and he keeps missing everything. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Ooh, man.
So I wanted to bring, and I'll let you finish it up, but I wanted to bring that up because that is like a big plot point.
That's
too.
All that happens really quick in the middle. It's like there's that happen and it cuts to him and his stuff. Then another part of it happens and it cuts back to him, you know, trying to get back with his girl and everything. But yeah, so the ending is they, and it's like 30 minutes of the movie of them just going back and forth playing pool. And I've never heard racking of the ball and them going down the chute so freaking loud for 30 minutes. Like that's like, I'm like, where did you come up with these sounds? Like,
sounds like Star Wars.
I know. Am I watching a Star Wars movie? What the hell?
Unused assets from 1977.
Well, at the beginning, he's getting his ass whipped. And so it keeps, you know, they keep going at it. And they start trading off back and forth. And finally, Christopher Walken shows up and starts, you know, he's basically backing Johnny now. And and it keeps throwing shade over at Joe for bullshit. So they finally were like, all right, this one's for all the marbles. And I think it was like for $100,000.
It comes to be close to $100,000,
So Uncle Mike comes up, well, Christopher Walken comes in there with a freaking briefcase and pops it open and is like, so here, I'm the backer. What you gonna do? Well, let's put some money on this thing. You know, let's make it interesting. And so when they, Joe is actually the one who calls for the last bet to bring up everything. And Christopher Walken's like, Joe gives this big speech about, you know, manning up and all this other, your boy's going to choke. He's like, let me tell you something, Joe, you know, that looks like all you got. Looks like you're also over there sweating. It's like $100,000, it's nothing for me. I'm a millionaire. It's like, fuck you, you cheap ass. I was like, hell yeah, Chris Walken. Put him in his place. He said, when it comes down to it, I seen your boy over there. He's going to break. So it gets down to the last shot, and it's a wild, wild shot on this nine ball. And they end up paying Joe is like, the guy's like, Brad, that he's playing, he's like, I don't want to take this shot. It's like, it's a stupid shot. And the guy's like, no, man, it's like, that's an easy shot. What the fuck are you talking about? Go ahead, take your shot. It's like, no, I'd much rather you be taking this shot. So it goes back and forth, them bantering with each other, and finally Joe and Christopher Walken start getting into it. So they put like another five on that one shot.
Yeah, so basically Mars Callahan, he's rushing because it's a difficult shot to make, almost impossible.
Yeah.
And what he's going to do is he's basically trying to con him. He's, you know, trying to hustle him. And he said, that's an easy shot. He's like, I'd actually pay you to make that shot. And he's like, well, how much, Johnny?
Yeah,
and
like,
he's
how much to take that shot?
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know, a couple $100. Like, we're paying for 100 big ones. He's like, you want to offer me a cut? He's like, offer me 5 dimes and maybe I'll think about it. And he's like, okay.
And he's like, no, Joe, I want to leave you with a little bit of gas money after I with your boy here.
Yep.
So he ends up, they end up putting up the money, and he takes the shot and he misses. And so he's like, oh, man. And but it was very close. It was very mm-hmm. close. And so then Brad lines up to go there, and it's like a, you know, just straight in shot, cue ball here, 9 ball in the corner. Like, it's anybody in the world can make the shot. Mm-hmm. So he gets ready to line up, and he puts his cue stick down and stops and says, whoa, what are you doing? I said, it's not your shot. I said, I just paid $5,000 to take your shot. Said, it's my shot now. And the guy's like, what? And Joe's over in the corner. He can't do that. He can't do that. Chris Wall goes, well, you know, he just did. And he makes it, and he ends up winning. He's like, Joe, you keep forgetting, man. It's not the long con. It's the short ones you got to watch out for. So, they lost five to win the 100.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty dang good trade-off.
Right.
So then he throws him his money that he owes to get his brother out of debt. And he's got to go get his brother out of jail. And then finally Chico shows back up. Because Joe ends up robbing Chico midway through the film, like as he's getting back to come back after Johnny. He just holds him up in his car one night and then beats him over the top of the head with his gun, like pistol whips him, and takes all the money he had. So finally he shows up at the pool hall with his crew and a shotgun. And he says, so Joe, you fuck with the wrong guy. So it was a good movie.
Yeah.
Sounds like
so. A couple quick fun tidbit facts. Well, the Rick Schroeder thing was there. The girlfriend that's Clint Eastwood's daughter, that's Allison Eastwood.
Yeah.
She played in that.
She didn't have a ton of lines in it. It was
No, she wasn't in it.
Back in like a quick,
yeah,
quick show.
And mostly when Johnny takes his brother Danny to the professional game. And they meet up with those guys in the back. Those are actual all real professional players. And they all share their stories, but they're actually all players. Another fun fact, Christopher Walken actually did make that pool shot.
Oh,
Mars Callahan had perfected it because he's actually a professional pool player. He used to hustle and stuff. That's where he came up with the idea for the movie. That was one of his trick shots that he used to do. And he thought it'd be good to put it in a movie. And Christopher Walken didn't get it on the first time, but he actually taught Christopher Walken how to make that shot. So when you see it on camera, that one time, because they filmed it a bunch, but they put that one in there, that is actually him making that.
Hell yeah. 100%.
I was going to say, how many times did they have to film those shots?
I don't remember, but I do know that all the other trick stuff that he did was actually all really done.
Oh, okay.
Because he was he used to go around pool halls hustling people.
Hmm.
So those were a lot of the fun facts for it. I will say it is that great conversation at the end when they're doing that bet, when they say Joe's like, enough of this bullshit back and forth stuff. Cause I love the way it's worded. He's like, you know, enough of this. He's like, let's just shoot it all, you know, raise the five to 80. Cause they call it the five is the, you know, the bet. And he's like, and everyone's quiet. And he uses Johnny's line. He's like, oh, a minute ago it was like, and now it's quiet as a church. And so he's sitting there and he's like, and he looks right at Christopher Walken's character, Mike, and he's like, is this your first time in a pool hall, Mr. Backer, man? He's like, you're sweating. He's like, I'm going to take all your money sitting on the table. He's like, you know, your suit gets a little mashed. And he's like, when you walk out of here, you're going to walk out with this stench knowing that I took all your money. And as he's going to say something else, you can tell he's about to say something. Christopher Walken cuts him off and just says, he's like, how much do you got, Joe? He's like, total. He's like, what's the difference? He's like, I'm a millionaire. I lose 80, I get another 80. He's like, that's the difference. And he goes on to talk to him about it. He's like, I think it's you who's sweating it. He's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, so he's like, you want to shoot it all? Let's shoot it all. He's like, how much you got in your pocket? He's like, I got a couple thousand. He's like, you? He's talking to Brad. He's like, I got 500. He's like, there. And he's pulling out more money. He's like, covered. He's like, how about your ring? He's like, you want my ring? He's like, you said it, Joe. Shoot it all.
You said shoot it all, Joe. What's for the ring?
Yeah. He's like, how much is it worth to you? He's like, I paid like,
he said 2,800. And he goes, here's three.
Yeah, here's 3,000. He's like, covered. He's like, I'm going to leave you with nothing.
He just keeps throwing money on a damn
table. But then the other conversation I love is after it's all bet, they all take a break for a minute, and Johnny's in the bathroom, and he's washing his face, and you see he's nervous, and Christopher Walken comes in. He's like, just like a gazelle, just shows up. He's like, you ever watch the Nature Channel? He's like, those documentaries? He's like, I was watching this one about the lions. He's like, the lion is this king of the jungle. It's huge mane. You know, he's just a massive presence. And he's like, and all of a sudden, he's like, you know, the lioness and the little cubs, they start messing with him. Yeah, just nipping at his toes.
Nipping at his toes.
Poking at him. He's like, the lion does nothing. He's like, all of a sudden, other animals see it and they start messing with him. And he's like, he's just sitting there. The lion's just sitting there. He's like, the jackals messing with him.
The hyenas.
He's like, the lion does nothing. And so, but all of a sudden, the lion gets up and just tears the shit out of everybody. He's like, it's too late to be scared. It's time to kill. And he's like, hey, don't beat him. Kick his ass.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to go back outside now. You come out when you're ready. So those are some really, really good lines in there. And it's got actually quite a few good we'll talk about it more later offline because I want to get you opportunity to talk about yours. But you can learn a lot of good cons and bets in that movie. Like a lot of really good. Some are old school ones, which almost everybody knows, but some of them are really good.
Yeah, the quick one was the shot one with the beer.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. So one of the guys in the crew, there's two other guys that are standing out. They're at the bar, and he's like, "All right, so here's the bet." He says, "So I can drink these beers faster than your two shots."
Oh, I know that one.
And he's like, "But what I got to do is you got to let me at least get through one beer." He says, "Now you can't touch my glasses. I can't touch your glasses." He's like, okay. He's like, $100. Okay. And he does it. And he's like, and then the other guy's got his hand on his shot. He's like, ready for him to pick up his second beer. And he's like,
yep.
He's like, and the look on their face is just like, oh, shit. Like, you can't touch my glasses. I can't touch your glasses. And he grabs his second beer and just pulls the $100 off and goes, thank you. Starts walking off.
My favorite one is the shoes on the feet one. He's like, this guy's working with. He's like, yeah, I'll tell you what. He's like, because he's trying to get a job, and the guy won't offer. He's like, I don't need it. You know, you're not a salesman. He's selling like motorhomes or something. And he's like, I'll tell you what. He's like, you give me a job, I bet you I could tell you where you got your shoes. And he's like, all right, you got to bet. He's like, but you're never gonna win. And he's like, because I bought these shoes on a cruise when I was in international waters. So no matter what you say, you're gonna be wrong. He's like, I say you tell you where you bought them. I say I can tell you where you got them. Right now, you got your shoes on your feet.
Yes, he's like, Johnny, what can you ask? You start on Monday, right? Monday, exactly.
All right, so that was Pool Hall Junkies. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.
Oh, it's my turn now.
Hey, yes. Patrick.
So
and moving on.
Yeah.
So I watched mine last night when I got home from work.
Okay.
It's a little Dan Aykroyd film called Dr. Detroit.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and burst Tony's bubble. I did not enjoy this film.
Well, you're stupid.
As much as Tony loves this movie, it is not my cup of tea.
I mean, coming from the guy who loves Hallmark movies, not a great pun.
Yeah.
I am ashamed of nothing. I regret, well, that's not true. I regret a lot, but I'm not ashamed of it.
Yeah. Don't get the no regrets tattoo.
So if you've never heard of this film like me, it stars Dan Aykroyd. He is a college professor named Clifford.
Squidlow.
Yes, Squidlow. And it opens up on him, like, inventing power walking, like, on the sidewalk. He's actually, like, doing mathematical calculations on how fast he's going and when he'll arrive at the college and everything. He's a literature professor, but he's doing, like, trigonometry in his head as he's speed walking down the street. And then a limo passes, and it's an old guy with four gorgeous women, one of them being Franz Drescher, and the other three, one of them was Donna Dixon, mm-hmm. and the other, there were five, actually, but the other three, I looked one of them up, this was, like, the biggest movie they were in.
Yeah.
Like, and they just make fun of him, because he's wearing, like, 1980s, like, running shorts that go, like, there's not a whole lot left to the imagination with how short these things are. And they're just making fun of him. So, like, look at the nerd, but he's got great legs. Like, that's the only thing they focus on. And probably because they're very pale and you can see them from space. So, you just... So, they're driving in
these
the
limo. These are my neon jogging shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So, he can be spotted easily at night. But basically, he just keeps his power walking. Not everybody else, like, on the sidewalk is jogging past him. And he's just power walking. He's got, like, rear-view mirrors on his glasses.
He's awesome.
So the limo drives past with, let's go ahead and say what they are, escorts, and their manager. But what, they never say the word pimp in that movie. Dan Aykroyd can't even say it. Like, he goes to and he stutters and he can't say it.
It's awesome.
And everybody, like, there's full, there's, like, three full scenes with other talent managers, and not one time is the word pimp ever used.
Talent. I like it.
But
how's the talent tonight?
Basically, the limo drops off the girls at the client's prospective locations, and then when they're driving back, that the limo with the ladies of the evening and the manager. The manager is in the car with the driver, Diablo. I looked it up. It's actually spelled Diablo. There's no B. Mm-hmm. They're surrounded by four other limousines from Mom's Limousine Company. So, let me paint you a quick picture. There's the main limo that we're following. There's a limo right in front of him. There's a limo right back with him. Like, really close together. Like, you hear him bump a couple of times. And then there's two on the side. Like, this guy is not going anywhere. He says the line, "Do you want me to lose them?"
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck are you going to get out of this? Like, I kind of want him to say yes so I can see this. But basically, they divert him to Mom's Limousine Company, where the talent manager has to speak with Mom because he is in debt to the tune of $80,000.
Mm. Oh,
to be fair, it was only a $60,000 loan, but because he's so late, she's tacking on the VIG of 20 grand.
Yep.
And
what happens?
Plus the VIG.
Yep. And she's like, the only reason why you're using both of your knees right now is because you're an earner. Now, I want my money back, or we're going to have a different conversation. And the two meatheads, muscleheads, they call them cue balls because they're bald and burly. So on going home, they're trying to think of a way. They need a patsy or a fall guy. So when he's in the meeting, he actually comes up with, like, I want to give you your money, but I have a new partner. And he muscled his way in. And he's taking all of my cash. And I can't remember what movie it is, but there's a famous movie where somebody's looking around the room telling a story, but he's picking out details.
Usual suspects.
Yeah. So he comes up with Dr. Detroit, because there's a photo of Mom in a hospital bed, so he says doctor, and he's like, this is also very bad, like, this new guy from Detroit, because he sees something from Detroit over
it's a calendar.
Yeah, calendar from Detroit, and then he says doctor, and then he looks back at the same calendar for the same word he just used 10 seconds ago, it says Detroit again, and she does not pick up on this. So he's Dr. Detroit. Doesn't exist, but now he needs to find a fall guy. And they all go out to dinner that evening at a local Indian restaurant, and they see the power walking geek. And then they proceed to treat him like a king. They buy his dinner, they buy him drinks, he gets baked as hell. There's even a scene where, like, they're back at the manager's, like, apartment or condo or whatever, and they're just treating like it, and he's just talking, he's like, you can live this life all the time. And all he's doing is holding his pinky with a mound of coke on it, just waiting for him to take it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do it. But what happens is, like, they're trying to show him a good time. So they open up the bathroom, or the jacuzzi, hot tub, whatever. And it's all five talented ladies just waiting for him. And then they do this campy 1980s thing where basically he gets undressed and jumps into the jacuzzi, but at, like, four times speed.
Yeah. It's like a cartoon.
Yeah. And then I think he picks up Franz Drescher and just, like, dumps her into the jacuzzi, and they have a great night. And then...
She didn't speak, right?
Believe it or not. when she her speaking lines, I was like, oh my god, you actually can enunciate and pronounce words correctly.
Oh yeah.
It's so weird. So he has a good time, so they now have their Patsy. He is now Dr. Detroit, whether he wants knows about it or wants it or not. So he goes, he has to go talk to mom again, but he's too clean cut. Like, he has to make it feel like Dr. Detroit muscled him in. So he has Diavolo beat the shit out of him. So when he comes back, he's got like a black eye, cuts and bruises. And then he runs away to Thailand. And then mom goes to collect money from the apartment, and it's nothing but Dan Aykroyd, who is still just a professor at this point. And the girls. So she comes over, and Dan Aykroyd said he's the executive administrative assistant to Dr. Detroit. And if you want a meeting, it'll have to be at the graveyard at midnight tomorrow. That's and Dan Aykroyd's like, I'm going to save you girls. So they go to the college wardrobe for class and get this disguise.
Like the drama department?
Yeah. And
yes.
He kind of looks like Doc Brown, except his coat is yellow instead of white.
And lime green pants. Like polyester.
Yeah.
Like this, like... And the beauty part is, so when Mom first Eve wants a meeting, he's got a prior engagement for the college, or something happens. Yeah, or he's got to pick up their friend or something.
Yeah, there's somebody giving an endowment to the college, and he needs to pick him up from the train station.
So he's got to change the date. So he calls up Mom, but he has to be Dr. Detroit now. So he comes up with this voice like... Yeah. And he's like, hello, mom. And so when he's like, you know, how are you going to pull off that shit? You know, when he's here, and this Diablo, who is TJ Carter, by the way, that's who the driver is. Yeah, they go to meet. So he's like, got to come up with an outfit because they now have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think it's like a burgundy, like 70s style shirt with the big butterfly collar,
yeah. Ooh, okay.
The yellow jacket, the green, lime green pants. Patent leather, white patent leather shoes.
And a steel gauntlet glove.
Yes, he gets like this glove that he wears. And it's just like a metal.
Like a jousting glove.
Yeah, yeah, like he took it off like a knight.
There's another scene
something.
Where he's putting it on. You see him put on the chainmail and then the stuff over it.
Yeah.
And when he's talking to mom, he's breaking car windows. And I was like, it's a glove. It's not giving you superhuman strength. Like, what the hell's going on here? I guess it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, that's the thing. Anyone can bust a car window if it didn't hurt.
Yeah. So, mom wants to kill him. So, she brings a bunch of guys. And then, like, a chase and antics happen in a graveyard, which is also a junkyard, or right next to a junkyard.
Yeah.
But actually, Dan Aykroyd picks her up with a claw machine and just, like, dumps her into, like, a pile of cars. And... you don't know if she's dead, bleeding, and hurt. She's just off camera now.
Right? Yeah. She's out of the picture.
Yeah.
Literally.
So now he becomes super famous in the talent management.
Just say the hooker community.
Escort community. Well, they went very painstakingly far to never say pimp. I'm gonna treat it with the same amount of justice.
Yeah.
But in the escort community, Dr. Detroit becomes this legend because he's the one who took out mom.
Mm-hmm.
So now the college is getting an endowment from a private corporation for a lot of money. And there's a big alumni dinner where they're going to announce and he's going to give the money. But Dr. Detroit has to go to the Players Ball, which is for escorts and their managers. And they go down to this street in Chicago and... you would think, like, all the hookers and managers in Chicago were in this, like, two-block radius. Like, if there was one cop, he would have had the best night of his career. But nope.
We took it down for all of Chicago.
Yeah. So, like, he's just, like, he's Dr. Detroit. Everyone is like, hey, you're the doctor. He's giving him a high five. He's using the steel glove, which can make you bunch that weird, like, windshields. But he's high-fiving and shaking hands with his pointy metal gauntlet. And everyone's fine with it. And
that's his pimp hand.
Yeah.
You gotta keep the pimp hand strong.
Yeah.
But,
he should have said, powder me up.
They keep saying, we're going to crown you king at the Players Ball. And he's like, what the hell is that? To like the ladies. And he's like, don't worry about it. It's a little thing you're going to go to tomorrow. He's like, no. I cannot tomorrow. I have the alumni dinner. There's no way I could be two places at one time. So they moved the Players Ball to the same hotel as the alumni dinner. So when they arrive, there's a bunch of like professors and collegiate people in tuxedos, very wealthy, posh, and all that fun stuff. And right next to them is a bunch of escorts and managers and everything. And
leisure suits.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like I said, they never say the word pimp. But if I say the words 1980s pimp, you automatically come to a picture in your mm-hmm. mind. That's what they all look like.
Mm-hmm.
To the nines.
Yep.
So, obviously, now Dan Aykroyd has to be at two places at once. And so he's in his fancy college party. Diablo comes up to him. He's like, we got to go to the other party. He's like, I can't right now. He's like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, you're right. Like, doesn't take a whole lot of convincing to get him to go to this other party.
Oh, that one extra question.
Yeah.
Well, Diablo has the wig and his prop doctor bag. And they're like, what are you going to change into? They turn his clothes inside out, like the suit jacket and the pants. The pants apparently on the inside are purple with a red stripe, and the jacket is, I think, just red.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, because, yeah. There's the jacket outside, but the inside.
Yeah, yeah, so they flip everything inside out, mm-hmm. yep. like Will Smith in Fresh Prince. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then the best part about this movie is the dance scene that immediately happens when he enters the dance.
Doctor, doctor. Detroit.
Yep. So James Brown is playing, and then just he goes in to start dancing because, you know, he's Dr. Detroit, and then literally everyone joins in. You would think it was almost choreographed or something like that. It's probably my favorite scene in the movie. It's a really good dance scene. It's really fun. James Brown is actually in the movie singing. It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yeah. He does the split and everything.
Yep.
Okay.
And then, you know, they do the little dance number. He says, you know, thank you very much. I have a chiropractic appointment because I have a side business as a chiropractor
yep.
that has to do with the back. And he says, thank you. And he changes it and goes back to the other one. So now he's on a dais with his father and everything. And then he realizes on his way back into the college party, he runs past Mom. Who's apparently alive. She's got one bruise on her. And without even thinking, he goes, hey, Mom. And then, you know, shit. And he puts it back on. And then while he's eating dinner, the two cue balls come up. And he's like, hey, fruit cup. Mom wants to see you. He's like, So he just gets up to the podium and introduces the guy who wasn't supposed to be introduced for, like, another hour. And then he leaves. And then he gets into a fight with Mom. So, apparently at this hotel, they have kebabs. On episorts.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, they fling the meat and vegetables off these things and have a sword fight.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Dude, it hits the cheese level so greatly. It's wonderful.
And they start having...
Did he write this?
He might have.
I don't know, actually.
No, something Freeman. That's all okay. The credits.
Morgan?
No, I wish. But they have a sword fight in the kitchen, which spills out into the college party, and Mom flips off the wig, and everyone knows, like, oh, the college professor is actually Dr. Detroit. Yeah, everyone is shocked for about 10 seconds, and then they start with the sword fighting scene again, and he wins, like, he gets the sword out of Mom's hand, and he puts the blade, I say blade, sword to, like, her chest. You can clearly see the rubber tip. That fencers actually use. This thing is not deadly. I use the fence. It's gonna hurt. You'll be fine. And then he gives this impassioned speech about hookers and civility and how everyone should just live and let live. Doctor is dead, but I am here to say as your college professor.
Such a solid theme.
Yeah. So, and everyone immediately gets, you know, just goes on. Like they forget or don't care that he was a, you know, an escort manager for four days. Escort
manager.
And then they do this thing that some of the 80s movies do. Like, they'll follow the characters around in the credits, and then they'll put, like, little text of, like, what happens years later. Diablo and one of the escorts, they save their money and buy a professional football team.
Yep.
Dang.
Right? They don't say which one. She seems like a pretty high-end escort, so she's probably making a few bucks. But he's a limo driver. So I'm assuming they bought, like, the Jets or something.
Yeah.
And then one of the Donna Dixon actually, she like her specialty was talking to the clients. So she actually starts talking to the guy who was giving the money to the pool.
Yeah.
And then it says, you know, they fell in love and now live in West Palm Beach. I was like, you know, that makes track. So the original manager who fled to Thailand, you just see him. He's like, yeah, he still lives there and he's got another 5 escorts that he's running in Thailand. Like he's doing him. And then out of nowhere, I mean, there is zero context, but there is no lovey-dovey scene. There is no build up to this. Dan Aykroyd and Fran Drescher get married.
Yep.
Out of nowhere. Like, this was not set up to be a thing. There was no, like, subtle glances. There was no flirting or anything like that. It is just straight up, he marries her.
Remember that I was talking about in how Hurricane Heist, what it was missing? Yeah. Unnecessary love thing that just happens?
Yeah.
But there's no exposition.
I know.
It just happens.
Yeah, it just happens.
Okay. Oh, and one of the other escorts becomes James Brown's personal manager.
Yeah.
I know, Tony, you genuinely enjoy this movie.
It's from my heart as a child, yes. So, I mean, I grew up watching that movie.
Yes. I don't hate it. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would.
Okay.
But I will. The best scene of the movie is the dance scene, I will say.
Okay. Now, so for everybody knows, the guy that, and I can't ever remember his real name, his actual name, but the one that plays the pimp, the original one that flees and runs away, is the guy that played Johnny Fever on WKRP in Cincinnati. And his name in the movie is Smooth Walker.
Yeah.
So, but there's what I do like.
There is one thing I need to add from Pool Hall Junkies.
Okay.
I completely forgot about it, but it's during the credit scene.
Okay.
It's when they've had the waitress that they've been like going back and forth subtly through the whole movie of, dude, those knockers, they gotta be fake. No, man, they gotta be real. No, they gotta be fake. So they all line up around the corner. It never says where they are, but you're assuming it's like in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they each pay her money to go up and grab them, fill them around. One was like 2, so he gets both hands. Yeah. And so finally, they're just sitting there, they're looking and they're debating while she's standing there, topless. Like, they feel real. Like, that is there's no scar tissue whatsoever on there. There's nothing. They're just going back and throwing these things out. Hey, fine. All right. Come on. Tell us, sweetie. Real or fake? And she's like, real. They're like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. But it was like, that was like a 5-minute scene at the end. As the
credits are rolling. Credits are rolling, yeah.
It's hilarious.
Two quick things. One, that WKPR Cincinnati, that was a TV show from the 70s, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the one where, like, I swear to God, I thought turkeys could fly.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly the one.
My sister showed me that one clip, and I actually post that scene on Thanksgiving.
Scott is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly.
Yeah. And two, for a rated R movie about hookers, there is very little cursing and almost zero. You see one boop. That is.
It's meant to be more funny. I mean, it really was.
That's kind of weird for an 80s movie that gets a R, because back then you could drop the F-bomb all over the place.
Yeah.
Still be PG-13.
No,
they probably got it because it was about hookers.
Yeah.
But I mean, the sexualized nature.
But outside of the topic, it's a PG-13 movie.
It's pretty calm. Mm. I will say, though,
you can delete the one boob that's on the television in like the second scene of the movie.
Well, there's
you get to edit that part out. I think they got done with the movie, and you're like, oh shit, we made a movie about hookers and didn't put any tits in this.
Yeah, pop one in there real quick. There we go. But there's a scene when they meet up at the car junkyard graveyard thing, and he comes out
call
and
it
he
a
does
graveyard, but it's
junkyard.
Yeah,
and he's talking to her, and he basically he's a slumlord. He's got muffler shops, he's got chicken chains, and he's got a chiropractic practice. He tells us all in there. He's like, because he comes to the meeting, he's trying to act badass and try to put fear in her. He's like, you must be mom. And I love doing the voice, but he's like, can we get this started? He's like, I came all the way down here from Wayne County. I have chicken chains, muffler shops. I've got slums to collect to run from. I have a chiropractic practice. I make adjustments. Then he clicks in the hand. So I was like, he's like, to the human spine. But the favorite line, he's like, And she's like, you think you can hustle into my territory? And, you know, that's it. And he's like, the doctor doesn't pay. And she's like, that's it. He's like, he doesn't pay and he doesn't worry. And she's like, you're going to pay, jerk off. And he's like, Mom, I will rip off your head and shit down your neck.
I forgot that he
said true story. That is a line that my family used to say to each other because we all had seen the movie. And whenever someone like just mess with you, be like, I will rip off your head and shit. The only time I could swear as a kid where I wasn't going to get in trouble, unless I asked to. So I said, hey, can I say this? Can I say the word, what letters to begin with? S. Okay.
Okay.
Stuff.
You're stupid.
But I figured it wouldn't be 100% your cup of tea, but it is funny. It's to broaden your horizon. It's just more like a childhood movie of mine.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't hate it.
No. But everybody's got their opinions. Yeah. And but no, I just wanted to broaden horizon. I'm glad you liked yours.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for torment on mine. we do have to stop now for this episode. We are out of time, but we'll, you know, check us out normally. You know, check us out on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Check us out on all the listening platforms, anything from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, WDBFRadio.com, or WDBFRadio.fm. They still are on the hiatus right now, but they'll be back, I believe, within the next couple weeks. And just keep checking back for updates. Coming in a couple weeks, as we get closer, we'll start giving you guys more and more updates for the Sunscreen Film Festival. I just saw in a post there on Facebook that the VIP passes are starting to go on sale now. You can get them at a discounted rate if you buy them now. Always get your stuff early, just like your film submissions. Get those passes early. It's a great time. You get a lot of bang for your buck with those passes. You know, you get access to all the after parties. You get access to any of the
showing. Yep. All the after parties.
Yep.
The
VIP workshops.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think they come with discounts to local restaurants.
Yeah, you can get like 5-10% off, maybe a little bit more. I'm not 100%, but you know, certain restaurants and
I think they put that up on the website too. Is the affiliated places to go.
Yep.
Gotcha.
All right, guys, but thank you so much for joining us in talking about the movies we watched this week. Until next week, for Movie Talks and Chill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrano.
Gavin Butts.
And I'm Dr. Detroit.
All right, guys, take care.
Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com. Email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then.
Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.